time expanse between the concept of the first reading, moving on to the post-resurrection period, and also from St. Matthew's Gospel. Genesis 1 to 5. The idea of a created universe is both inviting and also somewhat confusing. I, like you possibly, have read about the expanse of the universe. When Genesis was written, it wasn't to do with that. It was to do with humanity and how people were given by God into a given situation. I don't know how we can ever, in our minds, really come to terms with the expanse of a universe when some experts say it's just one universe amongst many. But as we sit here in a church, or it could be somewhere else, it could be in the park on a park bench, it could be in the cinema or theatre or some gathering, it could be a family gathering, we realise the fantastic complexion of being, a sense of being, of us as individuals. This morning, I got up pretty early this morning. I was out walking at 7 o'clock. The world looked good, and I was wondering about how we would get on here this morning. And that's a bit of my experience, but we've all had already today a different experience, a thought experience, a mind experience. And when we learn of the immense population of the whole world and some of its problems, then we begin to really have some serious thoughts. But I noticed that those few words from Genesis has cultivated speculation. It's cultivated adoration. It's cultivated a sense of the worth of what we belong to. I realized that in the musical situation, there have been some fantastic expressions of creation. Ralph Williams, The Lake, Lark Ascending, a piece of music which includes the sense of birdsong. Gustav Holst, The Planets. Used to sit in a place at my school called the Elonian Room, because it was a school in Ealing, which I never thought I'd get to sit in there, because it was only for sixth formers. I never actually envisaged being part of that group of people. But music was played to us, and we discussed it. And some of it was quite helpful. And it's good to know that music about creation is still progressing. There's a composer in America, Dan Forrest, a multi-movement contemporary oratorio about the universe. This was performed in 2016. if we ever get a chance of listening to it, I want to be there. This is the concept that we find in Genesis. There is the sense of God reaching out beyond our locating, our location, reaching our world today and giving us experience of what is going on. I'm mindful, as you might be, that we take Genesis as a kind of interesting book. We live in a world where the concept of God is not acceptable to many people. There is at the moment a little bit of a emphasis going on in education that we shouldn't be expecting any precise teaching about religion unless it's to do with different religions, so we can be better able to manage our changed circumstances in this country. I have, to some extent, found this interesting but also sorrowful, that little kids growing up in a multimedia world don't have much of a chance to have access to the Word of God, the idea of God, the place of God. I can't quite work it out how we can encourage some kind of introduction, or whether that is something which forevermore is going to be blanked out. It is therefore essential that we do keep to some extent to the concept that Genesis has something to say to us. A bold statement and something more. I had a poem somewhere I was going to read, but I can't find it, never mind. We read from 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Get everything in order. Listen to what I'm saying. This is the point. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a heavenly kiss. All the saints greet you. Here we find a growth, a happening. Here we are given insight through the writings of letters to given situations, with Paul visiting various places and extending the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And here today, throughout this country, and in many parts of the world, there will be families meeting together, there will be people meeting each other. Paul's greetings are also a benediction, is a finally about it. It means he may not be going back there. And so he entrusts all to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So we've moved from the sense of God Creator into the aftermath of Jesus coming upon earth, and we're seeing groups, places, situations which are becoming Christ-centered. And there is this idea, the God of love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. These are aspects of not what people see from the outside, but from the feeling that thousands of people are feeling from the inside of collective worship. These feelings of understanding between ourselves and the input in passing through us, giving us a kind of fruitage. I picked a rose off my rose bush yesterday, and I thought that is perfection. I thought perhaps I'll take that with me to church tomorrow morning. Well, I'm afraid I forgot to bring it. I've looked at it several times since I picked it. Its colour, the formation of each petal, and the collective formation. And quite honestly, I'm saying in my mind, how did that get there? What's the story behind it? And millions of other roses and other things. The actual detail. And when I come back to the concepts that are being used here in the Bible, when I come back to the greetings and the benediction, finally, my brothers and sisters, farewell. Agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. I begin to see emerging a trinity of understanding, of love, of fellowship, of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I can't go more deeply into it in defining anything, but it is a beautiful concept. And there's the third reading, which comes from Matthew. And this is the goodbye wishes of Jesus after the resurrection to 11 disciples. There, the mountain, they found. Jesus had told them to get there. They were directed. 11 disciples. A culmination of that most amazing story of Jesus Christ. All he did, all he said, all he meant. His expression of love. His givenness to the power of God. His teaching in parables. His love of children. His care expressed in John's Gospel for all kinds of people. People born blind, women who were looking for some purpose in life. This whole thing, to me, is not just drama put in a pleasant way. It's significant. It's resounding. It's joyful, it's hopeful. And what does Jesus say before he goes? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And are teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you. And that you is not something just to do with 2,000 years ago. That you is you and me, our being together. I am with you always, to the end of the age. I have not set out to prove the significance of the Trinity. I've tried to explore to some extent the validity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But all we can do is to follow our fellowship instinct, our rejoicing church performance, our pilgrimage and discipleship, and to dwell in the beauty of all the significance that the Trinity means. And if in doubt, look at a rose. Amen.